The European Patent Office podcasts bring you an insight into the technology and innovation shaping the world.
Do you care about the safety of your loved ones, regardless of their gender? When it comes to car crashes, crash test dummies have been the ones taking the toll and used to decide which features of a car make it safe or need improvement. Since the 1940s, those dummies were all modeled on men's bodies, even though women are more at risk of injury in the event of a frontal collision. You don't have to be a woman to understand that the female body is different from the male body, and not only in terms of height, yet somehow, the men in charge didn't think that those differences would matter. Now, fast forward by about 80 years to 2023, just last year, when finally a woman, Astrid Linder, led a Swedish engineer team who developed the first average-sized female crash test dummy. Surely this will improve car safety for your own family in the near future. Thank you, Astrid. Welcome to this podcast, marking the International Women's Day of 2024. The official United Nations theme this year is Invest in Women, Accelerate Progress. At the European Patent Office, we are marking the date by celebrating women's achievements in STEM fields, and there are many. But what is STEM? STEM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Maths. In this podcast, we will discuss STEM and personal perspectives with our guests about the topic of girls and women in science, technology, engineering, and maths. We often hear that diversity is important when it comes to innovation. But why? What unique perspectives are offered by women? What are the barriers being overcome by female inventors? My name is Cristina Margarido. I am a patent examiner in the mechanical field of kitchen appliances. I have a degree in electrical engineering and worked in a research institute before joining the EPO as a patent examiner. Here, I worked in the computer area for about 20 years and then moved to the mechanical field of kitchen appliances. Joining me today are two brilliant women, Joanna Prikiet-Sentsch and Marise Stoofs, who have a long career in STEM and will be answering some of our questions. Joanna has a degree in pharmaceutical sciences, another degree in law, and a career in intellectual property, first as a patent examiner and then as an IP lawyer. She's received many accolades from her clients and peers. Marise is an electronics and information processing engineer, holding a PhD on advanced video coding and transmission. During her career, she works for IBM before becoming a patent examiner in the field of audio-video media. She now works as an internal quality auditor at the European Patent Office for the area of physics and ICT. Joanna, Marise, welcome, and thank you for joining me in this conversation.
Thank you, Cristina. It's a pleasure to be here as a female engineer to celebrate International Women's Day.
Thank you. It's a pleasure for me to be here.
Well, I'd like to know, speaking of International Women's Day and all of us, we've had long careers in STEM, what got us started? So, like Joanna, for example, when you were young, what was the first thing that got you excited and interested in STEM?
I think that it all started with my mother. She was and she is my biggest inspiration. So I was born in the family of pharmacists and grew up surrounded by medicines and patients in the pharmacy led by my mother. So when the time came, I decided to attend the same university as her and pursue pharmaceutical sciences. But it was not just her. During my final years in pharmacy, I had the opportunity to participate in the Erasmus program in London, and I met great inventor, Professor Abdul Bazit. He also founded several tech companies. And Professor Bazit gave me a high level of independence, allowed me to contribute to generation of new data in a short period of time. So at the end of the program, he expressed his belief in my abilities. So his reference letter remains one of my cherished possessions still today. And it was during that time that I also find IP. And I decided that I wanted to work with inventors. I wanted to work with people that indeed can change the world and they inspire me. And I realized that working with patents would afford me the opportunity to have a glimpse into the future. So I think that it's almost genetics. And since my early 20s, I was certain that I wanted to work in STEM and IP, with my biggest inspiration being the people that I encounter along my journey.
That's really cool. How about you, Marisa? What was it that inspired you?
Well, basically, as a young girl, for me, I had no real idea of what I wanted to become. I basically saw the world as a huge place full of interesting subjects that I wanted to learn about, discover, and understand. But it took until around the age of 16, where I basically started to feel nervous, as I still did not exactly know what career I wanted to pursue. And I had peers who knew very well they wanted to become a doctor or an architect, and I had no idea. I had been told that an engineering diploma was a challenging diploma to obtain, involving a lot of maths, but that it would give access to a broad set of possibilities to contribute to the world. So I also liked a lot the beauty of mathematics, of chemistry and physics, in which the answers were usually black or white. So either it works or it does not work. So that really inspired me to go into studying engineering. It opens up a world of possibilities. So I'm very confident that anybody who really wants to engage into engineering or science technology has a very good opportunity to do so and to learn a lot afterwards.
Wow, that's really interesting, Marisa. That's funny because for me, it's also maybe a little bit of a combination of what happened with the two of you. So for me, it was more the inspiration from my mother, who absolutely loved maths. And she instilled that love for maths in me and my sisters. And on another hand, there was also a little bit of the curiosity about the world. So I was always looking for things in the drawers of my engineer uncle, who had all sorts of strange parts at my grandmother's house. And I always wanted to know how everything worked. And I'm sure that curiosity, in fact, plays a big role for everybody, not just women and girls, but for people who want to pursue a career later on in STEM in general. Was there also, for you, Marisa, maybe you have an example of a female inventor that inspired you? And can you share a little bit of what was it that she invented?
Definitely. I'm basically specialized in image processing, advanced video coding at the Free University of Brussels. And a woman who, in my view, cannot be overlooked in that field is the renowned Belgian mathematician and physicist Ingrid Daubechy. In the 1980s, she performed basically pioneering mathematical research for image compression. The set of wavelets, the Daubechy's wavelets that she developed, are exceptionally efficient in representing an image in a sparse way. That means actually that they are very well able to extract key information from the image in a way that a minimum of data is needed to store the image while keeping the most important information from the image. Additionally, the Daubechy's wavelets allow very fast and efficient computations. So that makes them particularly interesting to do image and video coding, which usually are a lot of data to be stored and to be represented. And additionally, they have properties that allow them to be very good noise removers. So that means that they find applications nowadays a bit everywhere in image processing. They were already also integrated in a video coding standard called JPEG 2000 for digital cinema. So every time I enter a cinema theater, I basically have a little thought of Ingrid Daubechy. The New York Times called her the godmother of the digital image.
That's a very nice story. I can imagine how inspiring it was to work along somebody or at the place where somebody else was working, somebody like Ingrid Daubechy's. Joanna, I have a lot of curiosity about you because I'm an electrical engineer and Maris is also from the area of information and computer technology. But you're a pharmacist, at least that was your first degree. So Do you have also somebody who inspired you, maybe somebody who has less to do with computing? Or maybe not, I don't know.
Surprisingly, one of the inventors that I get most inspired from is not in the pharmaceutical field or the medicines area. I always think about Hedy Lamarr. So she was an Austrian-American actress and inventor. She co-invented a new communication system used with the intention to guiding torpedoes to their targets in war. She is like the mother of Wi-Fi, her technology. But at the end, what she reminds me is that we can be beautiful, we can be talented. She was a talented artist. She was a brilliant inventor. So it reminds me that we can be many things and should not limit our full potential in any way.
That's a great message. Hedy Lamarr, I do find her also very inspiring. I always think that throughout history, we have so many examples of women who have to persevere and overcome obstacles in order to innovate or even at all work in science. We have a very recent example at the European Inventor Awards, which is Katalin Karikó, who also became a Nobel laureate. And she is extremely dedicated and she endured sexism. She had loads of struggles in order to get to where she got, from being demoted from her job, facing personal hardship with health problems, also her husband being held back in another country for a while. She persevered anyway and eventually found an ally that supported her in her pursuit of the mRNA technology, which gave us things like the COVID vaccine during the pandemic. Society has, of course, greatly benefited from her work, and yet she could have easily given up in the face of all of those challenges. So it's thanks to people like her that we have this technology of the mRNA vaccines, which was so important and also show promise to solve other health issues for the world. I hope that most people don't have to go through such difficult situations in order to become an inventor or come up with something interesting and work in science and technology. We don't need to be a superwoman or a superman to work in science. Marisa, is there any other example that you want to give of any woman that you find inspiring?
If we look, for instance, in mechanics, which is a field where women are typically underrepresented, already 200 years ago, Nancy Johnson filed a patent for what she called an artificial freezer, which was the first ice cream maker, basically. So she made it possible for everyone to make quality ice cream at home and without electricity. And she turned out to be a very successful inventor, which was quite uncommon in her days, because at that time, men had control of virtually every aspect of women's lives in the United States. So finances, legal agreements, the right to own property was very difficult for women at the time. So with her innovation, basically she profited over her lifetime about $1,500 from her patent, which is quite successful. But if we look at inspiration, as you asked, I believe Grace Hopper, who invented the compiler language in the 1940s, is a very inspiring lady. So what is a compiler? Compiler is basically what converts the high-level programming languages in English to machine code that can be understood by the computer, so the binary language. And she basically proved her colleagues wrong. She had to work for years to prove that it was possible to use English language instead of binary code to program computers. She's famous for saying that the most dangerous phrase in the language is "we've always done it this way." And that's exactly what technology is all about. It's about doing things a little bit different.
I have to say, you're speaking to my heart, Marisa, because, well, now I'm working in the field of kitchen appliances, precisely, which is a mechanical field. And the vast majority of my colleagues in this area are men. But Nancy Johnson with her ice cream maker could have been something that I would have been looking at today in my work, you know, an ice cream machine that was invented by somebody, including perhaps Nancy Johnson's granddaughter. And when you talk about Grace Hopper and the first compiler, I'm thinking, my God, what would we have done without that? Even when I started at university, we were already not programming with binary language, that would have been complicated, I have to say. That made it a lot harder. So, cool stories. So when it comes to women inventors, we could be here all day just talking about them and their inventions. The EPO published a study about women's participation in inventive activity last year. So this study gives us a picture of women inventors in Europe and also how some countries have a much higher participation of women than others. So I'll ask you first, Marisa, because you're at EPO. Have you read the study and what is your take on it?
Well, it provides quite some interesting facts and data. According to the study, biotechnology and pharmaceuticals have women inventor rate values of over 30%, which is already quite high. But then we see that there are big differences in technical fields, as you just mentioned, because mechanical and electrical engineering only see 5 to 7% of women inventors. So there is a big difference between how many women end up holding a patent dependent on the technical fields. There is also a big difference between countries. And we see that Latvia, Portugal, Croatia, Spain have a women inventor rate, so women holding a patent, of above 20 to 30%. However, there are countries where the women inventor rate drops dramatically to even 10% or even lower. And what is very interesting about this study is that while we see a positive trend over the last 40, 50 years, we are far from being there across all technical fields. When we look at the study, what it says is that the women inventor rate increased from around 2% in the late 1970s to more than 13% in 2019. So moving from 2 to 13, so making a jump over 40, 50 years of 11%, I think we can say there is still much to do.
Yes, absolutely. And I know, Joanna, you're laughing. I know that you have some ideas of what can be done. So I'm very curious. Let us know. What's your take on this topic?
Cristina, Portugal is very well positioned. I don't know if we have a secret recipe, but it is a fact that for more than 30 years, Portugal has had more women graduates than men. In doctorates, the trend is the same. So something that is also very positive, that in recent years, women Portuguese inventors and IP have been in the spotlight, and not only in the chemistry pharma field. We had a Portuguese engineer as finalist of the European Inventor Award 2016. Elvira Fortunato, she developed a paper-based microchip, which is a cost-saving and energy-efficient alternative to silicon chips. So despite having some work to do in this regard, as a country, we seem indeed to be in a good path, at least in terms of inventorship. But what is the next step? So I'm a lawyer. I work with startups. I work in IP transactions. And we need to ask ourselves, how many women are indeed building a business based on their technology and their IP and creating value to the economy? Sometimes it helps me to return to our history, to understand better where we stand. I revisit the Vindication of the Rights of Women, one of the earliest works on feminism by Mary Wollstonecraft, a self-taught woman, 18th century, presents in her manifest independence as a great blessing of life. And I agree. I believe this remains true to this day. So women need to be equipped with the tools to negotiate contracts, to develop their technology, initiating to expand their businesses through education and ownership of economically valuable assets, such as intellectual property. They can achieve this independence. For such a purpose, talents need to be detected as early as possible. And we all, in our daily work, are responsible for it. So yeah, each young woman named inventor should have a sponsor, someone that not only is a mentor, but really advocates for her.
Very powerful message. Do you have any example of mentorship networks that would help perhaps girls to hop into STEM, or even young women, young professionals that come into a STEM profession of any kind and then want to find a path, find a way to progress?
I think the most important thing is that you need to find someone that is working side by side with you, that can indeed help you along the way. You need to start creating a network in every place that you work with your peers, within the university, within your company, and then you can develop all the skills that you need to construe a business based on your technology and your IP.
Yeah, I was just going to add that, yes, indeed. I mean, I think it's very important to build a network, and some places like the European Patent Office have formalized this sometimes, so organizations are increasingly aware basically of the unconscious sometimes gender bias that may exist. So there are mentoring programs being offered and women's network, and I think it's adding value to take something from them, whether it's formalized or informalized, because I think a mentor you can also, or a sponsor as you say, you can also search for it by yourself, but it adds to developing your career. But also, I would say that for getting more women into leadership and into STEM, I think it's also important to look at the input. So at a very young age, and even at education, and even at parents. And it is very important to remove the misconceptions that may exist related to science, technology, engineering, and maths. I think it's really a concerted effort from individuals, education, organizations and policymakers to promote basically gender equality and diversity and inclusion that is important here.
When it comes to diversity, Marise, I know I'm going to go and hop into a topic that's dear to your heart, because you always mentioned the importance of diverse teams in achieving great inventions. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, I believe that having diversity allows to have all parameters, all facts taken into account. And also, women are 50% of the world's population. So it's important to have them in the development and the design of solutions for the 21st century, where we have challenges. We have challenges around energy use, about environmental impact, climate change, but also population growth. And some of them can, at least partially, probably be solved using STEM innovation. So, and one example that I like a lot is the one of last year, the Popular Prize of the European Inventor Award, so where a French research team was celebrated for their invention to safely and sustainably store hydrogen. Their invention basically shows that active collaboration between men and women, but also combining different technologies, allows to innovate and accelerate maybe progress and effectively tackle complex problems. One of the inventors there said that she thought her team was like a musical orchestra, where everyone is like some special instrument where they can play themselves, but when you play yourself alone, it's not exactly music, but only a small part of it, and that together you can really make the music. I thought it was a very nice analogy.
Joanna, do you have anything to add to that? I got a feeling you did.
No, maybe just one thing about diversity. So we have, at this stage, we have new models of leadership. So transformative, collaborative models of leadership, wherein we are focusing on collaboration, on adaptability, on people and not only the tasks. And I think we all agree that women are really good with people and really good in collaborative models. So I think, as I was saying, that this is a diverse world. So if we live in a diverse world, we need to have a diverse leadership. This will bring value for companies and for the economy.
Really powerful messages here. I would like to go back to the beginning. We're talking about science, technology, engineering, and maths, our curiosity for the world and how it drove us to get into this career. So I would ask you, maybe starting with Joanna, why would you encourage young girls to go into STEM?
It's a little bit difficult for me to reply to that question in an easy way, because I don't like only one thing, only science or technology. I think it is for this reason that I also went to law school. So I would encourage young girls to do this. Of course, learn science, but also read poetry, enjoy art and nature, discuss ideas with people. Inspiration comes from everywhere. And then I say inspiration, I say inspiration for critical thinking, thinking rationally, which is of utmost importance for a career in STEM, and develop your own particular interests. This also serves you irrespective of the profession you choose. I was listening to a podcast a couple of weeks ago where Isabel Izquierdo, she is a field ethologist who studies animal behavior. And she was being interviewed and she said something very interesting. She said, explore, be adventurers and not just mere lab coat researchers. And I think that this is what women in STEM are. So if you feel like an explorer, if you feel like an adventurer, maybe a STEM career could indeed be a good choice for you.
It's also back to what I think Marisa was saying earlier on. You don't have to be only one thing. So there are many engineers and scientists that are also passionate about history, literature, music, art, so many other things. We have so many colleagues, for example, at the European Patent Office that have other hobbies and other activities that they do for hours every week in parallel. You don't have to limit yourself. So don't think that just because you have a curiosity about the world, about nature, about how things work, that that's the only thing you're going to do with your life. How about you, Marisa? How do you encourage young girls to get into STEM?
Yeah, John, I already gave a lot of very nice points. I think also it's about if you're curious, but also if you want to contribute to solving issues that are around you. So if you want to basically make the world a better place, and that can be in any domain, basically, I would think go and do the work and go into science, technology, engineering and maths. And maths there is really the fundament of everything. So do your maths, do your homework, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And that is also something I would give as a message, because the curiosity, you keep it. And with technology, everything is constantly evolving. So you will never be bored in your life if you stay curious and you really engage into STEM.
I love that message, Marisa. And it's so true. I have to say, because I've changed to a new field recently, I find myself feeling a little bit like a child that's discovering how things work again. You know, I sometimes go downstairs and open my toaster just to see, okay, which bits are in it. And now I understand why those bits are in it. So I find it rather interesting and cool. And like you say, never a dull moment in the whole STEM career. Just to finalize, because we're running out of time, maybe Joanna first, do you have any final conclusion or final message? Would you like to wrap up?
Maybe I don't want to give an advice, but maybe some conclusions. In my experience, you will always find someone generous enough to help you. You just need to have the confidence to ask. So find a mentor, find a sponsor, an ally at every step of the way. Surround yourself with people you admire and can learn from. Stand side by side with clever, bright, and strong women. This is a long journey. Everyone will have the opportunity to be on stage. So applaud each other. It will always work for me. Do not be afraid to apply, even if you think you do not have all the qualifications. Discover your purpose, aim high, be brave, and don't be discouraged by setbacks. Be resilient. And of course, have fun. Remember to stay humble and create real connections with people. In my experience, it will pay off.
I can only concur with all that. So be curious, challenge yourself and grasp opportunities as they come. But do the work, be prepared. If they underestimate you, well, prove them completely wrong. Use your brain power. And as Joanna already said, seek advice from others. If you can use mentors or look at how other people solve problems that you encounter, because you are never alone. So you can always ask people.
And on that note, we've reached the end of our podcast. We hope that girls continue to be excited and curious about the world, that their natural interest is nurtured, and we get more and more women in science, technology, engineering, and maths. For the young women in STEM out there, our message is to look for support networks and mentorships, trust yourself, and be brave. You can do this. The more of us in this area, the greater diversity of problems will be solved for the benefit of all. And maybe the next car safety feature or medical treatment or something else will have a greater impact for all genders. Thank you very much to Joanna and Marisa for having such a lovely chat with me today. And thank you to you, our listeners. From my part, it was a pleasure to participate. Goodbye, until the next time.
Subscribe to the European Patent Office's podcast channel, Talk Innovation, at epo.org or on your favorite podcast platform. Let's Talk Innovation.